Thank you, Stacy. Praise the Lord. We wouldn't know how much He loves us if we didn't have the Word of God. We wouldn't know. We would have no idea that He loves us. It is His love letter to us. It is perfect in science, perfect in history, but it's also perfect in Him expressing His love to us. And we wouldn't know what to do with that if we didn't have the Word of God. We would just be out here, okay, God loves me, now what? But He tells us in His Word. That's why we celebrate. That's why we're excited, because God gave us His Word. And praise the Lord for that. I call your attention to Hosea 8 and verse 12. I gave the passage to Tim right before we came out. And he, you know, got it right away. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. You know, it's sad to say that to most of the world, the Word of God is a strange thing. It's so sad that the Word of God is a strange thing. I want to talk to you about when great things are strange things. Father, bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts today. I pray for that one here today who has never trusted you as Savior. Maybe they've never heard how. They've never heard how much you loved them, how much you cared for them so that you sent your Son to die for them. Maybe they've never heard that. Maybe they don't know and have never heard that if they would call upon the Lord to save them today, they could be saved. God, thank you so much for your Word that I could see, that I could know how to be saved. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts today and help us to realize what we have with the Word of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I did want to mention that I am preaching this morning from the Bible. We'll be reading from for the next 3 days. And I thought that'd be kind of a neat thing. Thought about it a little bit late. And therefore, it'll be slow turning to Scriptures. You know how it is when you get a new Bible. How many of you know what I'm talking about? In fact, you almost hate to get a new Bible because you've got all your little notes in there, your little underlines, and the pages turn a lot easier. So you'll have to kind of bear with me. But we thought that'd be kind of a neat thing as we are doing something as a church like this. So I am using the Bible, and I didn't underline anything. So I'll have to really look hard at stuff. But for 28 years, I've been as a pastor, I've been able to preach from the Word of God. That's an amazing thing to me. You Sunday school teachers, don't take it for granted that you're teaching from the Word of God. You know, a bus captain, you get up and you preach to those young people on the bus. Don't take it for granted. You have the Word of God and you're able to teach the Word of God to people. You junior church workers and teachers, and of course they're all in junior church now, but you work with shepherds or you work in any ministry. Maybe you're a Bible teacher in our Christian school. Hey, listen to me. You have the Word of God and you stand up to preach or teach. You're teaching from the wonderful book that we call the Bible, the Word of God. And the sad thing, though, is, you know, Hosea has a lot to say about Ephraim. In fact, I ended up writing down some notes, and I'm going to preach on that. That became way too long. But he had a lot to say about Ephraim and their wicked condition. And the thing that I noticed about that is so much like the United States of America. There are so many comparisons with people right here in our country to Ephraim and the way that they went down and went away from the things of God. And right here is one of those things. God said, I've written to him the great things of my law. God said, I've put it in writing. I've given him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. God said, here they have everything they need, how to live, what to do, how to be blessed, all of those things. God said, I've given, and he said, but to them, they become a strange thing. When great things are strange things. And that's exactly what he's talking about. There was this particular thing that jumped out at me about Ephraim, and the words, I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. God said, I wrote all these great things. I wrote all these great things, but to Ephraim, they were counted as a strange thing. When great things are strange things. The reality is, with all the greatness of our Bible, which is God's Word, with all the greatness, to most of the folks in the United States of America, they're strange things. People look at us strange. They really do. You carry a Bible anywhere, and people look at you. Why are you carrying that? What's that? It's God's Word. It's God's Word. I mean, do you understand that this book right here, the King James Bible, this is what, as America was built, as God blessed America, this is the book right here that God used in America. And today, you can't even read it in the public schools. I'm just saying, you know why that is? Because it's become a strange thing. The Word of God is a strange thing. All the great things that God's given, it's become a strange thing. To most people, it's strange. I've got to admit, there was a time that to me, the Bible was a strange thing. When I was growing up, we didn't go to church, and to me, the Bible was unapproachable. It was unreadable. It was not something for a kid. It was not something that we could read. It wasn't something, because again, that's just how I thought of it. And it was a strange thing to me. And you've heard me talk about people giving me tracts and different introductions to the Word of God that came to me as a hippie teenage boy who was lost and on my way to hell. And it was a strange thing to me. It seemed odd. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know, this Bible, it's a strange thing to me. This book is a strange thing to me. But understand, it is the great things that God's given to us that are in this book that seem maybe strange to us. I know, like I say, before I got saved, it seemed very strange to me. On Wednesday nights, we're going through the people of Proverbs, and we've been talking about the strange person. And the definition of strange, the idea is foreign or alien. And how sad that an English Bible would be strange to us. How sad that for so many people, and maybe you here today, this book right here, it's plain English. How sad that it would be strange to you. How sad that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's strange to you today. At 16, 17 years old, it was strange to me. I could not understand. God loves me, and yet that's what He told me in His Word. I would encourage you today, if the Word of God is strange to you, that you challenge yourself. That the great things that God's given us, the great things that are written in His Word, the great things that He has chosen to show us, I challenge you that they not be strange to you, but they become part of your life. I'm talking about the great thing like salvation. I'm talking about how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. You know, we all die. I don't know if you read the obituary or not. Now, I don't read the obituaries every day, but sometimes I'll look at the obituaries. And again, it's a reality that we all die. Everybody dies. And yet we kind of want to push all that off. When we're young, we really don't think about it. But then the older we get, we just try to, you know, I don't want to think about it. I get discouraged. And yet God shows us how to know for sure that we're going to heaven when we die. God shows us how to know for sure that heaven is our home, and He tells us about heaven, and it really doesn't sound bad at all. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions, but you know, you start talking about that, and to a lot of people, that's a strange thing. It's just a strange thing. How to know for sure that we're going to heaven. How to live. Just how do I live my life? That's in the Bible. By the way, that's why a lot of folks don't like the Bible. Because they don't want to be told how to live. But it's all there. I mean, if a person has a question about it, and you know, it's right there in the Word of God. But that's strange to a lot of people. They look at you like, why would you follow that book? There's a lot easier books out there to follow. Yeah, like anything written by Dr. Seuss or... You're right. Fairy tales, right. But it's strange to people. The great thing of prophecy that God gives us in His Word, all the prophecies, prophesied, fulfilled. God said it, years later, it happened. You know, that's awesome. That's why, you know, really, when we celebrate Christmas, we say, joy to the world, the Lord hath come. We're excited about that. You know, and the world looks at us like, come on, what about the fat guy? You ought to be excited about him. You ought to be more excited about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. What are you talking about? No, you don't understand. God said it, and it happened, and miraculously it happened. But see, it's strange to most folks. They look at us like, you people are nuts. But I'm the one with a big smile on my face. I'm the one that's happy about it. We just celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How would I even know that happened? I read it. God showed it to me in His Word. That's how I know it happened. He not only described what happened, but He gave a list of all the witnesses that saw Jesus after the resurrection. Told us all about it. Very, very clear. And so to me, it's a whole lot more exciting than a rabbit laying an egg. Which, by the way, when you find one that does, let me know. I'd like to represent you. But you know, all the prophecy in the Scripture, the miracles in the Bible, they're strange to a lot of people. A lot of people. The second coming of Christ, that's strange. But it's just as strange the first coming of Christ. God's will for your life. It's all in the Bible. How to find it. How to do it. The great things of my law, God said, they're strange, they're alien, they're foreign to so many people. They are unknown completely. Do you understand? There are people all over the United States. We used to talk about going to foreign countries and finding people that have no clue what the Bible says. There are people in the United States of America, they have no idea what the Bible says. And it's becoming more and more and more likely that your next door neighbor would have no idea. It's a strange book to them. The Bible, God said, my law, my word, it's strange to Ephraim. And it's almost like as you read the book of Hosea, it's almost everything you read, it's like, it just doesn't make sense. Why? Why would they choose that? I ask you today, why would you choose to keep the Word of God strange to you when God wants you to know it and He wants you to live it, and He has so many great things for you? But I wrote down some things that it is strange to these people as well, just like it was strange to Ephraim. Number one, it's strange to those who don't respect it. No question about that. I mean, there are many, many people who just look at it's just another book. I guarantee there will be those that see our big ad and a half-page ad in the paper about the King James Bible. They'll look at that and say, what, they would spend all that money just to talk about a book? Yeah. And to them, it is strange. They don't respect it. They don't treat it for what it is. God says here, He says, my law. My law. And the Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's God's words. It's God's word. Some don't respect what it is. Oh, there are many that would say, well, it is a literary masterpiece, and I'll just read it for the literature of it. And it's more than that, though. It is a literary masterpiece. But God wrote it. That only makes sense. But it's more than just literature. Some will read the Bible and because they want to criticize the Bible. And they'll look for things and they'll pick it apart and try to find things that are inconsistent or things that go along with what they want it to. They don't respect it, therefore it's strange to them. There are those that they would say it's not supernatural. I promise you this, folks. This book is supernatural. It is God's Word, and it has been preserved by God so that we can hold it today. Don't tell me this book hadn't been under attack. It's always been under attack. It always will be under attack. It's under attack now. I promise you, there are those that would like to destroy this. The devil certainly would. But he can't destroy it. Why? Because it's God's Word. And it's always been. And it always will be. They don't respect it for what it really is. For those that don't respect it, it's not the words of life. It's not that. Boy, it is to me. It is to me. It's not words of comfort. It is to me. There are those who would say, well, it's just another book. And to them, it's strange. It's strange to those who don't respect it. Go to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. And again, bear with me. Brand new pages. Matthew 15, verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Look at Mark 7, verse 9. Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. And here the Bible says pretty much the same thing. He said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now there's folks that don't respect the Word of God. You know, you don't respect the Word of God when tradition is more important than what God says. There is no respect. And there's no respect for what God says when our traditions, our own works, our own ideas are more important than what God said. So I understand why you would think it's strange. I mean, I understand there will be those that think it's strange that a church would read all the way through the Bible in 3 days and make a big deal out of that because they don't have the respect for the Word of God, because tradition is more important than the Word of God. Man's work, man's ideas. See, we should be in awe at the Word of God. We should have a reverence for the Word of God, because it's His Word. It's His Word. God's, you know what's sad? God's love is strange to those who don't respect the Word of God. His love is strange to them. You talk about the love of God, and they don't understand. By the way, His judgment is strange to them too. Those who don't respect the Word of God, His judgment is it's strange. You talk about it, it's like, oh, come on, that can't be possible. But it is not only possible, it is happening. It is happening. But God's mercy is strange to them as well. Well, I know His mercy. I know His mercy. I know His grace. How do you know, preacher? Because of His Word. His Word. You say, come on, preacher. I mean, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. Psalm 138, verse 2 says this. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Wow. I didn't write that. God wrote that. Why? What's the big deal? Because God wrote great things in His Word. Great things for you and I. Great things about Him. You say, well, I want to know more about God. You need to get in the book, because the great things are there. He revealed those things to us through His Word. It's sad that those things are strange to so many. Some people will say this, well, you know, I just love God. I don't care about His Word. You don't love God if you don't care about His Word. Well, I love God. I love God. It doesn't really matter to me whether I have His Bible. You don't love God if you don't love His Word. I have magnified, or thou hast magnified thy Word above all thy name. That's pretty powerful about God's Word. It's strange to those who don't respect it. Number two, it is strange to those who don't receive it. How true that is. Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's folks, they honestly don't understand when you say, well, I'm just trusting the Lord. They don't get it. Doctors look at you funny. You know, pastor comes in, prays before a surgery, and they say, okay, go ahead, get it over. Yeah, go ahead. You go ahead and do your thing. What do you mean, do my thing? What do you mean, do my thing, Mr. Doctor? Do you understand that my thing is more important than your thing? Amen. They look at you like, are you nuts? Don't you know I hold the scalpel? Don't you know? He created the person. Oh, listen to me. We live in a different day. Some of you are already, you're thinking, well, come on, I mean, the prayer isn't as important as a doctor. I'm not discounting the doctor. When I pray, I always pray for the doctor. I always say, God guide his hand so he doesn't mess up. Because you know what? Humans do mess up. But God never messes up. Never. And God helped the nurses to do what they're supposed to do so they don't mess up. It's like you suck the air right out of the room. Us? Except for those that are honest. But see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you don't receive the Word of God, then you don't have faith. And it's like, you know, you people do not have a grip on reality. Faith isn't about reality. It's about trusting God. If you don't receive the Word of God, then certainly living a life by faith would be strange. If God's words are strange to you, then obviously you don't have faith. And if you don't receive, you don't believe. And honestly, you know, we as Christians, we need to understand that's most of the world out there. Most of the world doesn't believe. The reason we believe is because of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Matthew 13, go there, Matthew 13 and verse 4, we have the parable of the sower, and obviously a reference here to the Word of God, Matthew 13 and verse 4, and comparing the Word of God with seed. And the Bible says in verse 4, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And then that is explained. Understand, again, the devil is always trying to snatch the seed away. It's like sitting in church. God wants you to get something from his word, and the devil brings all kinds of stuff trying to snatch that away so nothing happens in your life. The word of God, it's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. But if it gets snatched away because I'm thinking about something else and I don't receive it, then I've just missed out on what God had for me that could change my life. Those who don't receive it are just like this. The seed is devoured by the fowls and it's being snatched away before anything can happen. Distractions can do that. By the way, the versions issue has done that in so many lives. Hypocrites can cause that. Verse 19, Jesus explains, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And they just didn't get it. And so it's strange to them. It's strange to them. Follow this now. To understand Bible truth requires faith. It just requires faith. And without the word of God, you don't have faith. And I'm telling you, folks think we're nuts. Why don't they just live it up? I am living it up. I'm having fun. What's wrong with these Baptists? What's wrong with these people? What's wrong with these Christians? I mean, they're ruining their lives. And we look at them like, are you kidding? Yeah, see. Wow. They heard great things, but they didn't receive it. And so those great things became strange to them. To understand the Bible and understand the truth of the Word of God, it takes faith. And if you do not receive that Word, you'll never have the faith. Just to simply believe and enjoy your Christian life. That's why a lot of Christians, you got saved. But your life, you come to church and everything just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. Sometimes I wonder if it ever even goes in the ear. And everything seems strange. It's like anyone who would criticize, which criticism happens all the time, every day. Down the hall, up the hall, and over the hall, and downstairs, and all around, and in and out, and in the corners, and slithering around all over the place. You know, But anyone who would criticize, why didn't he put an ad in the paper? What's the deal with reading through the Bible? It's because it's strange to you. It's very, very real to me. Those who don't respect it find it strange. Those who don't receive it find it strange. Number three, those who don't respond to it. To them it's strange. Back to Matthew 13. Back to Matthew 13. In Ephraim, of course, all of these things are true. If you read the book of Hosea, you would see that with the history recorded there. Matthew 13 and verse 5. Some fell upon, back to the seeds being spread again, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Those who don't respond to the Word of God, it seems strange to them. There's no depth. That is explained by Jesus in verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the Word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the Word, by and by he is offended. You know, here's the one that just never responds to the Word of God. Never at the altar. Never. You know, never. I'm a Christian. Why don't you ever come to the altar? Well, it's just, you know, whatever. Again, that doesn't mean everything, but it means something. Or you never respond when you read the Bible at home. You know, it's convenient to have the Word of God, but you're missing out on the great things that God has for you. You just don't respond to it. Understand, God's Word is not just for us to read and say, oh boy, that is good. God's Word is for us to obey. We have to respond. It requires a response. And you know what? If God's Word doesn't take root in our lives, if we don't respond, because that's taking root. It's when we respond. It's when God convicts us. It's when we make decisions. It's when we say, God, okay, you spoke to my heart, I'll do this then. If it doesn't take root, it becomes strange. The Bible says it becomes so strange, by and by he's offended. This guy, this person here, that it didn't take root in his life, he's trying to go through all the motions and trying to do all the things. By and by, he's offended. And so verses like Romans 8:28 become strange. They look at it like you're crazy. And we know that all things work together for good. If it hadn't taken root in our lives, that verse almost offends us. It's like, all things don't work together. God said all things do work together for good. But you want to fight that because it just God's Word hadn't taken root in your heart. Those who don't respond to it, it is strange to them just as much as those who don't respect it. It's strange to the ones just as much as those who don't receive it. I mean, here, you know, a person doesn't get their way and they're offended. Okay, let the Bible take root. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, that verse could make me very mad. What do you mean, trust in the Lord with all thine heart? Lean not to my understanding's good, I've got it figured out. But listen to me. God's Word's taken root in my life. Years and years of hearing the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, reading the Word of God. It takes root in my life. And I know that that's true. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But I promise you this, there are Christians all over the place that would say, yeah, I tried that. It is true as true can be. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And he shall direct thy path. Blessed are they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm responding to the Word of God. Psalm 119, 165. The less we respond, the stranger truth is to us. And eventually, we leave truth as if it never existed in the first place. How sad that is. By the way, that's found in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. Look at it. In verse 8. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." That right there is a testimony of people who would not respond to the word of God. Therefore, it became strange to them. And if the word of God is strange to you, then truth is strange. And pretty soon you just get farther and farther and farther away from the truth. How sad. How sad that is. Those who don't respect it, it's strange. Those who don't receive it, it's strange to them. It's strange to those who don't respond to it. Number four, it's strange to those who don't read it. I'm amazed how many folks say, you can't understand the Bible. Have you ever read it? No. I just don't like the Bible. Really, have you ever read the Bible? No. We've all heard that before. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Here's what Jeremiah said about it. By the way, here's a guy that had every right to gripe and complain about a whole bunch of stuff. But he didn't. He went through a pretty tough time. But here's what he said about the Word of God, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. And I believe the reason and the way that he made it through all the tough time. "For thy words were found, and I did eat them." That's what Jeremiah said. He said, "I ate them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." By the way, how did he know he was called by his name? The word. And he said, you know what? He said, "I'm rejoicing over this thing." And while a group of people are saying, "And it's terrible, everything's bad, nothing's going right," he's saying, "Hallelujah, glory to God," while he goes off to prison and suffers. Yeah. Yeah, those who don't read it. Back to Matthew 13. I'm just about done. Matthew 13 and verse 7. Now, I got Matthew 13 in this brand new Bible here. I've got it where I can find it pretty easily. That's about it. Matthew 13 and verse 7. Again, back to our sower. It says, "Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Jesus explains it in verse 22. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." I think that's those who don't read it. Because the world chokes it. We're so full of the world, we don't have room for the Word of God. Jeremiah said, "I ate the Word of God. I ate it. I chewed on it. I ate it. I thought about it. I meditated on the Word of God. I ate the Word of God." But the only time we don't eat is when we're full. And we're so full of the world. Every one of us. That's what keeps you from reading your Bible, preacher? My own carnality. That's what keeps me from reading my Bible if I don't. And you know what? If we don't read our Bible, I'll be honest with you, it just becomes strange to us. You know, I don't have room for the Word of God. Yeah, I know. We all deal with it. We all fight with it. We've got to watch TV. Right? We got to get on our computer. We got to text. You know, all these things. I know. Every one of us fights that. But if you don't read it, it will become strange to you. And pretty soon it won't matter. And that's what's sad. Because God said, "I've written great things to you. Don't let it be strange to you." Huh? Some folks are just too lazy to read the Bible. Some are so proud they don't think they need it. But here's the result of that. We miss out on the great things God has for us in His Word. We're missing out on it. You say, "Well, I don't understand it anyway." Have you ever read it? Because I promise you this. If number one, you know the author. That's God. And you say to Him, "God, I want to know what you have for me." I guarantee you,
He's going to make sure you get it. He will. And we have Christians all across our country and all over the world who are missing out on the great things that God has, because and they count it as a strange thing. Those who reject it, those who don't receive it, those who don't respond to it, those who don't read it, and then the last thing, those who don't remember it. And back to our text in Hosea 8, verse 14, it says, "For Israel hath forgotten his Maker." Forgotten. How do you keep going when things are tough? I remember how much he loves me. How do you know he loves you? Because he said so. How do you know he said so? I read it. I read it in his word. Come on. My wife and I, our dating relationship started out very, very much writing letters to one another. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, we'd write letters and wrote all kinds of letters and everything, and sometimes things got a little rocky. What did I do? I got out some of those good letters. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, I got them out. I had to reread them and look at them and say, you know, boy, this was so good. Now, you know, I'm just saying to you, you better remember what God said, because the world is telling you a whole bunch of stuff. Religion is telling you a whole bunch of stuff. But the great things aren't in man's words. The great things are in God's words. And if we don't remember it, why do you think the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God"? He said that because he knew that he had to hide the word of God in his heart so that as sinful temptations came along, he'd know God says no. God says I can't do, no. God's word says I shouldn't do that. God's word warned me about that. God's word told me not to do that. God's word said, I don't want anything to do with that. To live our lives minus the word of God is to miss out and to get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. Instead, what we need to say is what Samuel said, 1 Samuel 3:1, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. I want the word of God to be precious to every one of us. I want it to be precious to me. It will only be precious to me if I read it and read it and read it and read it and memorize it and meditate on it and think on it. And the less and less that I do, the more strange it becomes. You say, how did those folks used to be in church all the time? They used to be faithful. They used to work in a bus ministry. They used to do this and used to do that. And today, they don't even go to church. What? The Word of God became strange. And it probably became strange because of one of these things. Maybe they didn't remember it. Maybe they didn't read it. Maybe they didn't respond to it. Maybe they didn't receive it. Maybe they didn't respect it. Let's decide how special the Word of God is. And let's read, listen, obey, and do exactly what God's Word says. Again, God has chosen to give it to us. How special is that? Why in the world would we neglect it? Let's bow our heads, please. You're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. If you died today, you do not know whether you'd go to heaven. You're not sure that heaven would be your home. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to point anyone out, but I would like to pray for you if that is you today. You say, if I died, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. I am not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. I know maybe the Bible seems strange to you, but today you've heard it. You've seen it. You say, preacher, I want to know I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone? Anyone at all? Can't see everyone. God sees. Pray for me. I'm not sure. I wonder if there's Christians here today that say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart about something today. Please pray for me as a Christian. Raise your hand all over. All over. God speaking to my heart as a Christian. Father, please help us to read and love your book, the Bible. And I pray that we would not get away from it in any of these ways where it would become strange to us. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts now during this invitation. If there's someone here who's never been saved, please, God, convince them, show them they need to trust Christ and be saved today. And I pray for Christians that we'll make the decisions you've laid on our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand, please.